Christ, the demand of price for the commitment of sin was blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 states, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The blood had to be from a perfect lamb without blemish. In the New Testament, we learned that the blood of animals could not cleanse anyone from sin. That you could read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 to 7. I'm not going to read it, but that is the reference, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 to 7. Jesus became our ransom. This ransom was the most willing, most lovingly paid. When did you ever hear of a God becoming a ransom for someone's guilt and depravity? Since when did you hear about that? A God becoming a ransom for someone's guilt and depravity. Jesus became the ransom for our sin, our guilt, our depravity. He was the most holy, greatest ransom ever given. This morning I would like to speak about the price that Jesus paid for our eternal home in heaven. Yet I could only barely scratch the surface of how much our salvation cost Jesus. Jesus greatly humbled himself when he considered the miserable condition of depraved man, which would lead to his eternal condemnation. When you speak of the humility of Jesus, you must realize that it is a great humility, infinite condescension. This humility was associated with, as we sang this morning, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree, beyond measure. Jesus went from the heights of heaven and the heights of glory to the abased and miserable condition of man. His life started in a dirty manger, surrounded by unsanitary conditions, and ended with the worst possible death. Imagine leaving this awesome, incredible beauty of heaven and coming to a dirty manger to begin a suffering life on earth that would end in a brutal, near-fatal beating followed by a six-hour crucifixion. In between his birth and death was great suffering also. He was known as a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This morning, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the cost of our eternal home. We ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this most holy, greatest ransom ever given. What about the glory of Jesus in his deity? I want to begin with the incredible heights of the glory of Jesus in his deity. Colossians chapter 2 tells us, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 and 19 that I will read to you. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 14 tells about multiple thousands of angels worshiping and praising Jesus. But Jesus humbles himself. Why? How come? Because he wanted you and me to enjoy heaven with him for eternity. You know, when you go to heaven, it's not for a short vacation. It's not for a month or a year or a lifetime. It's for eternity, thank you, Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus left the incredible, unimaginable beauty and glory of heaven, his throne, the worship of many thousands of angels, removed his glory and majesty, and became a man, and a servant to man who he created. He lived with miserable, sinful people. He had lovingly decided to pay the price for our sin and misery. Jesus knew what his life on earth would be like and how it would end with the mocking, the scorn, the pulling out of his beard, the scourging, the crucifixion, and he willingly came anyway. He didn't come with a grudge. He willingly came. He left heaven to become a suffering servant. We look forward to living in heaven, and Jesus left it. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. John 13 records he washed the disciples' feet. Talk about making yourself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords became a servant to something he created. He became a servant to something that was and is subordinate to him. The Creator became a servant to what he created. He lived to serve man and then died so that man would not have to spend an eternity in hell. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became sin, as we sang this morning, so that he could save the sinner. All these truths are manifestations of his infinite humility. What about the suffering servant? His humility was so great that Jesus is known as the suffering servant. Would you expect the Son of God to have the title suffering servant? Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 reads, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Notice that this verse says, I offered. Jesus offered. He willingly suffered. Why? Because he wanted you to enjoy heaven with him for eternity. The Son of God allowed man to spit on him. How disgusting. Imagine spit from someone who hated Jesus dripping down his face. Consider that one. The Creator allowed man to spit in his face. Can we clearly understand this intense humiliation that he suffered this morning? He humbled himself. He allowed man to pull out his beard, causing great pain, and his face to bleed and swell. As a hymn states, oh, how much he was willing to bear. Isaiah 52, verse 14 reads, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. The one who created and formed the man and gave him facial features didn't look human anymore. Consider that one. If you would open your Bibles to Isaiah 53, we're going to read verses 1 to 9. Isaiah 53 and verses 1 to 9. Give you a moment to get there. Going to read in the King James this morning, but you could follow in the NAS, which is in your in your pews. Isaiah 53, 1 to 9, and then verse 11. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Wow. Jesus comes to earth to die for the salvation of man. And how does man react to this? Man mocks him, despises him, rejects him, spits in his face, slaps him, puts a crown of thorns on his head, brutally beats him, condemns him to death, and crucifies him. And Jesus in his heart said, I will bear their iniquities too. Can we see the incredible love of Jesus? Jesus bore the iniquity of those who were mocking him, beating him, and killing him. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. He humbles himself. He even forgave them. As the hymn states that we sang this morning, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. The pity, the grace, and the love of God shown through Jesus' sufferings cannot be measured or even imagined. Jesus allowed man to judge him, and man condemned the Son of God to death. In a court case, a person will look for the best lawyer to defend him or her. In the jury selection process, the defense attorney will choose people who will be sympathetic towards his client. But Jesus allowed himself to be judged by people who hated him and despised him, by people who wanted to see him dead. There was no justice in Jesus' trial. In the court case, the criminal suspect wants the best defense that he could have. But Jesus, who was innocent, did not allow the angels to defend him. He allowed Roman soldiers to beat him until his back became a mass of torn tissue and until he bled profusely. The one who created humanity allowed man to brutally beat him until his back was torn open. Why? Because he wanted you to enjoy heaven with him for eternity. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. You would expect the Son of God to be crowned with gold and precious gems, but Jesus was crowned with big thorns. He humbled himself. He allowed man to nail him to a tree that he created because he wanted you to enjoy heaven with him for eternity. Viewing the crucifixion, we see that the hands that created the vastness of outer space and held stars. Now we wonder, we look at the majesty of outer space and the greatness of the planets. Jesus held them in his hands, and those same hands were crucified. He humbled himself. He who was timeless and holds time in his hands permitted a six-hour period in his life when he would experience extreme, brutal, intense suffering and agony. He contorted in agony. Jesus was crucified between two thieves as if he were a criminal. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was crucified between two thieves. He humbled himself. This was the same Jesus who was in beauty and glory of heaven at the throne of God, surrounded by the glory of angels. He left his high, lofty position, subjected himself to the cruelty and hatred of man, and became obedient unto death. And he willingly went to the cross. He left heaven so we could go to heaven. Through his infinite love and humility, Jesus paid the most awful price for our salvation. He took the punishment that we deserve. Sin required a blood sacrifice. Jesus left heaven to become that sacrifice. Only he bought our souls. As the song states, there's a place in heaven waiting me. I got it through his death at Calvary. Can we say thank you, Jesus, this morning? If Jesus didn't humble himself, there would be no salvation, and we would be headed for eternal torment. But in his infinite love, Jesus became our great Redeemer and opened the doors of heaven for us so we could spend eternity in heaven with him. Again, the definition of ransom, the release of a person in return for a payment of a demanded price. Jesus was the most holy and greatest ransom ever given.